honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps, along with the Basketball Podcasting Network. Thank you, Dylan and Kyle, for having me on board there. Coming in out of British Columbia, Vancouver, British Columbia, anyway. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. A sunny day here, Friday morning, talking Timberwolves basketball. Minnesota Timberwolves, though, might think it's a little more cloudy, or maybe the storm clouds are brewing with the referees, particularly in the Boston game, but also a close, heartbreaking loss against the Brooklyn Nets. The Timberwolves are meatloafed this week. They win 1 out of 3. The ups and downs of the season, and that's definitely an understatement, to say the least. The back and forth, you know, heartbreaking one-point loss to the Brooklyn Nets, and then you ultimately end up having everything just kind of fall apart on you at the last second, basically, with the Boston Celtics. Non-calls against Boston, calls against the Timberwolves, this and that, and then it brings up the whole, oh my God, everyone hates the Timberwolves, blah, 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 blah. So sometimes it feels like it, but I don't think that's what's happening, but I don't know. Sometimes circumstances fuel that kind of quote-unquote conspiracy theory out there. The NBA doesn't care about us or whatever, and the referees are always picking the other teams, like East Coast biased or West Coast biased or this biased or that biased. But, you know, Kobe Bryant biased when he was, you know, obviously still around with us. And, you know, of course we missed him. But anybody else like that? I don't know, kind of a weird week, to be quite fair, for the Timberwolves. 3 games to review, 4 games to preview. We're going to be playing the Hawks again, all East teams next week. At Chicago, at Toronto, at New York, and then coming back to play the Atlanta Hawks for the second time in 9 days, I guess. So, should be fun. Hopefully it's a nice highlight show like it was last week. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? The Wolves end up losing 2 games by a total of 3 points, Brooklyn and Boston. Definitely disappointing. Very good basketball games, but definitely a frustration for sure. Friday, March 10th, 2023. The Timberwolves host the Brooklyn Nets and lose 124-123. I think I might have went over that a few times already. And something's wrong again. What is happening to this place? I have no idea. But I don't know if it's the mouse or what, but it's like nothing's moving here. Anthony Edwards with 32. That would be a familiar number for him during the course of time. Again, a back-and-forth battle between two, you know, decent teams. Obviously, Brooklyn is a decent team. Spencer Dinwiddie's back in Brooklyn again, and he was knocking down threes. He got 11 assists in the game. The Timberwolves gave up, I think, too many threes in this game. I mean, a lot of catch-and-shoot. Now this thing is working, right? Okay. Lots and lots of catch-and-shoot threes for the Brooklyn Nets. It was like time and time and time and time again. I think that's pretty much why the Wolves lost, was the perimeter defense in this one. 47.1%, 16 three-pointers made by the Brooklyn Nets. And what had been a trend coming into this week, and we'll look at things here as we move forward, but it's like the Timberwolves were taking more threes and making less. So obviously, that's great. It was like no beef and cheddars for anybody with that. We have the threes. I keep calling it the meats. We have the threes promo that Arby's does for Timberwolves games. Every time the Timberwolves get 12 threes or more, you get a free beef and cheddar the next day. Nice. And they're hoping you're going to buy more than just that, but you can go out there with just that. They're not going to kill you or anything. The Nets actually shot better from three-point range than from the floor overall. 46.2, that's nothing to sneeze at, but 47.1 from downtown is pretty crazy. And again, I mean, they were moving the ball around and hitting three-pointers. See, it's like Royce O'Neal's the ultimate example. He shot 3 of 11 from the floor, but all 3 of his shots made were three-pointers, and he was 3 of 5, see? He also had 15 rebounds. A guy that I wouldn't mind having on the Wolves, no doubt about that. A big kind of tough guy who can get the rebounds, but he's got that three-point shot as well. Can't just shoot threes But again, I mean, it's just kind of a theme why the Wolves lost the game. Finney Smith, 2 of 5 from downtown. These are all from three-point land, whatever. Cam Johnson, 2 for 4. Michael Bridges, 4 of 8. Spencer Dinwiddie, 3 of 7. Royce O'Neal, like I just said, 3 of 5. He had a really big one late. Again, didn't have a great game, but he made a big shot that mattered. Seth Curry. Okay, sorry, I always do that. 2 of 4, so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's kind of the theme. And ultimately, I think that's why the Wolves lost the game, was the porous perimeter defense, you know, not really not really keeping up with their rotations and their ball movement there with the Brooklyn Nets. Defend the three slightly better and you win the game probably comfortably. So just a dang shame that the Wolves ended up losing in a pretty epic battle back and forth. Anthony Edwards had some big moments. You could argue Rudy Gobert was the best player on the floor. You could argue that. You could also argue Anthony Edwards was as well. Certainly not perfect. He was off and on, off and on. His shot selection wasn't good down the stretch, and generally speaking, Conley really struggled from the floor, 3 of 13 and 1 of 6 from downtown. I mean, they killed us from three-point range. They just simply did. 9 of 30 for the Wolves. That sucks. 30%, that sucks. 49% from the floor. So we were like basically the polar opposite of what the Nets did, and we only lost by one. So it's like, again, put two and two together. Why did we lose the game? Pretty simple, huh? Pretty simple. You could just look at it and just say, oh, yeah, that's why the Wolves lost. Kyle Anderson with 11 assists in the game. Slow-mo himself has had an awesome week, obviously. Double-double for Rudy Gobert. Again, did attempt 15 shots. But again, all those up-close, powerful plays, you know, those dunks and such and baby hooks and all that. Hopefully we stay away from the baby hook. I'm not a huge fan of that, but if it works, it works. He doesn't really do the baby hook, though, does he? Not really. That's Rudy. Like, maybe a different form of it that's more efficient. 12 of 15. I mean, it's, you know, you got to love that. The four steals, the block, 26 points. Rudy Gobert was certainly a force inside and looked more and more like the guy that's getting paid, $40 million plus. Anthony Edwards, again, nice numbers and everything. Nice numbers and everything, but the shot selection stunk. 3 blocks, 2 steals. You got to love that. And the 32 points, you got to love that. And, you know, getting to the free throw line enough. I mean, not great. 5 of 6. You're wishing it was more like 10, 11, 12-ish and beyond. But again, the 12 of 26, and again, it's the shot selection and the timing of the shots that certainly did not help the Wolves. And again, the good timing and the execution by the Brooklyn Nets are why they won the game. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, another fairly efficient game. He didn't shoot well, but he did a lot of other things, so to speak. Unfortunately, a minus 18, though. He was out there kind of in the wrong place, wrong time, so to speak. Not necessarily like his fault. It's just the Nets were on a run, and during a lot of the time he was out there, which, I don't know, is it his fault? Nah. Minus 18 in the game, so it makes him look worse than he is. Sometimes it's a good stat. Sometimes it's, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, you take the good with the bad. And again, I mean, 1 of 6 from three-point range isn't going to help you either. It's like you miss three, and then the other team goes down the court for a layup or something, or a quick catch-and-shoot three, you know, in a run-and-gun style offense. So, whatever. The Wolves lost by a point, and it was freaking frustrating. And just, again, and very poor execution on the final play of the game. The Wolves had all the chances in the world to still hit a game-winning shot and set it up well. But it was another one where, again, well, I guess the Nets' defense was good. I mean, give them credit, sure. But you just kind of screw around, and then all of a sudden, it's too late. You're getting crowded, and you have to force up a horse bleep shot, which is exactly what it was. And that was Conley's, 1 of 6 right there. You end up with Conley shooting like a corner three while being covered, and it was pathetic. It was like, I don't know, it was just like McLaughlin's shot. He looked like Jordan McLaughlin a week or two ago. It was crap. It was a bad shot, that's all. It just wasn't good. And the Wolves lose. It would have been nice to take some kind of a mid-range elbow shot or something, but guess what? Guess what? That's not what happened, unfortunately. I would have felt a lot more comfortable if Anthony Edwards somehow was able to get to the elbow and take a shot, but I don't know, it just wasn't meant to be, right? Atlanta Hawks, highlight real-time, human highlight film. Anthony Edwards was a bit of a human highlight film in this game, there's no doubt. Trae Young as well with his 41 points, but what a fun game. What a fun game if you're a Wolves fan. Kyle Anderson, laddie. Kyle Anderson. I'm just kidding, yeah. It just, when I see Kyle Anderson, I think of like Ireland or Scotland, laddie. I do. See, some guys you look, yeah, he's a big box scorer, blah, blah, blah. Like certain players, I won't say who, but certain players might be that. Kyle Anderson fills up everything you want, and it's not just for the sake of filling it up. He just gets the job done, and he doesn't have to look super pretty doing it either. He added a 2 steals, 2 blocks to go with his triple-double, at least his second of the year, if I'm remembering correctly. 14 points, 12 assists. Again, just timely passing. Kind of lulls you to sleep and then just, whoop, you know, flips the ball. 10 rebounds in the game as well to lead the club in rebounds and assists. Certainly not in points. Anthony Edwards would get his 32 again. Stunk from three-point range again, but when attacking the rim, yeah, 2 of 10. That's 20%. Ugh. But, hey, beef and cheddar is for everybody, baby. The Wolves finally got 12 threes made. It took, like, half our life, but we finally can get a free beef and cheddar again. But you notice the overall field goal percentage is 58. Because, again, when Anthony Edwards and others were attacking the rim, it was working. Jaden McDaniels also, again, with a nice feed from Nick Heal, Alexander Walker. A nice finish by Jaden McDaniels as well. Again, he had 19 points, only 1 rebound, which is kind of annoying because, but I don't know. I mean, it's kind of everybody was making their shots in the game in a lot of ways. There weren't as many rebounds to be had in this one. And man, I mean, what an entertaining back and forth type of, you know, up and down the court. It wasn't back and forth. The Wolves were ahead pretty much the whole way. It was a nice night. It was a really nice night to see the Wolves go and kick some butt in Atlanta. And those third jerseys are nice. Yeah, when you have like the yellow trim to go with the red on the black jerseys, they are nice. I haven't been a fan of the city jerseys for Atlanta for quite a while, but the natural red and the natural like red, although the white and red, and then the red and white, you know, with the yellow mixed in. Oh, I'm going to keep saying it. Best jerseys in the league. Best jerseys in the league. Atlanta is the winner, and second place is Daylight. I mean, they are the best jerseys in the NBA. The best. and I'm going to just keep repeating myself and saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. My Kevin Garnett type play, Jordan McLaughlin to Rudy Gobert, that looked like Garnett. It really did that, you know, the one-handed rim rock and jam, so to speak, you know, kind of a late 80s, early 90s term. But that's what it was, a rim rocking jam by Rudy Gobert. But Anthony Edwards was making the rim rock quite a bit throughout the night as well. So cool. You know, Steve Smith was there, of course, NBA TV. Dominique Wilkins, the highlight film, my all-time favorite player, basically. Basically like him, Michael Jordan. You know, Anthony Edwards is becoming, you know, very quickly becoming my all-time favorite Timberwolf. Yeah, I know. I know. Get offended. Get offended, everybody. He's already pretty much entering that territory. Get offended all you want. Get offended all you want. Some players do it for me. Some players don't. Okay, I'm just being honest with you. So, especially, well, certain guys, he did it for me for a long time, and then all of a sudden, I just saw things I didn't like. That's all. That's all. Just being honest. You can guess who I'm talking about. Kind of related to the Rudy Gobert dunk. Yes, kind of related to that. Just rewind the tape, so to speak, right? Now that we're back talking about the late 80s and early 90s, rewind the tape a few minutes, and you'll figure it out. Okay, I know. Mike Conley shot way the heck better. That certainly helps. Whenever Mike Conley shoots well, it's like the Wolves are in good shape. We really are. 9 of 13 from the floor. 3 of 5 from downtown. He even had 6 assists at 21 points. Just made you feel a heck of a lot better. He didn't even make a free throw in the game, did Conley? But still 1 of 21. And yeah, it's fun to watch when Conley's kind of like the Mike Conley you kind of sort of remember with Memphis and Utah. Because when Conley plays well, I think the Wolves are in really good shape. But generally, the Wolves are playing well in those situations. Kyle Anderson had almost what looked like a dream shake type of play as well. Certainly not as pretty, but it worked. It was kind of a dream shake. You could call it a slow-mo dream shake. And he made it. But again, an entertaining, highlight film type of night. Anthony Edwards rim-rocking jams and such. Again, stunk from three-point range again for some reason. I don't know. He'll get it together one of these days. I don't know. But it's fun when he does. It always is like that, too. When someone's shooting poorly from outside, they keep shooting because they're getting frustrated. Like, okay, this one will go in. Come on. Okay, this one will go in. Come on. You know, it's kind of sad but true. But a comfortable, fun 128-108, 20-point victory. By, nope, that's wrong. 136-115 victory. A 21-point win over the Atlanta Hawks. Congratulations, Minnesota, on easily the feature presentation of the week.
And now, our feature presentation.
Sorry, I was late on that. My apologies. So, but yeah, the Hawks game was the feature presentation because of how fun it was. The Boston game, you could say feature presentation because of the drama and the frustration, and it was a pretty good game, but we lost. And the way we lost was really maddening for every Timberwolves fan, and it brought out their old conspiracy theories again, like the NBA is against the Wolves, they hate us, blah, 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 blah. Believe me, I'm not against every conspiracy theory that's ever come across my eyes, so to speak, particularly non-sports related, but you can figure that one out on your own. But sports related, occasionally, there's got to be some truth to some of them, but I don't know. I don't think the NBA hates the Wolves. I do think there are times the NBA doesn't care about the Wolves. It's not a hatred. It's just they just don't care about us that much. That's all. And that wouldn't surprise me, to be quite honest. Sadly. Like, does the NFL care that much about the Jacksonville Jaguars versus the, well, maybe more now with Trevor Lawrence. But say, before Trevor Lawrence, did they really care about the Jacksonville Jaguars? You know, did they? So, or like, teams like that? I don't know. Compared to, say, like a New York Giants, compared to, say, a San Francisco 49ers, teams like that that have so much history. Let's get back to where we need to be. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, no points in the game, super frustrating. Anthony Edwards, efficient, shot 50% and 5 of 8 from downtown and 10 rebounds. This is the best game of the week for Anthony Edwards, for sure. He was the best player on the floor. Yeah, but Kyle Anderson also, another 8 assists. He was 50% from the floor with 50 points. He even added a couple blocks. So a really impressive performance by Kyle Anderson. Unfortunately, both Anthony Edwards and Kyle Anderson would get ejected in the final moments of the game as things got insanely heated and insanely frustrating. Everybody's wondering what the bleep is going on here. But it was a nice back-and-forth battle. Kind of felt like Boston was going to pull away and win the game. Kind of did, and it, you know, but then the Wolves just kept fighting back. And then, you know, but then weird stuff started happening. Wolves and all them were, you know, the Wolves and the Celtics were battling for a loose ball. The Boston coach was way out on the court, which is illegal. That should have been a technical foul, which could have cost the Boston Celtics the game. The call was not made. Karl Anthony Towns couldn't believe it. Other people, yeah, Karl Anthony Towns on the bench couldn't believe it. Other players were getting really frustrated, like, what the heck was that? Then you end up with a jump ball. The ball was clearly tipped quickly by the Boston player. I believe it was Williams, right? I believe it was Grant Williams. I think so. Was quickly tipped by Grant Williams. Like it had to have been early. They should have redone the tip. They didn't. Celtics get the ball, and the clock runs out, and the Wolves lose. Bull crap. Complete BS. And then players started, the Wolves didn't lose, but the Wolves ended up losing not long after that. Players started flipping out. Kyle Anderson and Anthony Edwards started flipping out at the referee, and eventually they both were canned from the game, whatever, they were ejected and all of that. They were just losing their minds. And then, of course, the fan base was, you know, going off, and the refs bleeped us and bleeped us again. It's the 90 millionth time. I mean, there are games that are not officiated well. Again, I'm not going to come out and say the refs are always against the Wolves, this and that. The Wolves have gotten calls in the past. Maybe not so much this year, but back in the day, we got calls all the time when I was a season ticket holder. And the fans would always flip out when calls wouldn't go our way. But welcome to the sports world. Fan bases are going to do that. There was a time I was one of them. I mean, I've always been a fan, but not that kind of fan. Not the kind of fan that's just, the Wolves can do it all wrong and the other team is always cheating. The other team's cheating, damn it. And the refs, they must have gotten paid off by the other team or like the owner or something. You know, it had to be. Come on now. There's no way. Or occasionally, just sometimes, luck would have it as well for the other team. Maybe like they make a lucky, what looks like a fairly lucky play, and you end up losing the game. It's just unfortunate. Or you get insanely lucky. As, you know, sometimes the stars align, like Malik Sealy's buzzer beater against the Indiana Pacers, which I was fortunate enough to be in person to watch in the upper deck. But in person, yes, upper deck is where I frequented, not the lower deck, unfortunately. So that's kind of how it was. This was not a well-officiated game. No. Again, does it mean the NBA hates the Wolves? No. Does it mean the NBA doesn't care about the Wolves? I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure if they do, but Well, David Stern cared about us enough back in the day, God rest his soul, to prevent a group from New Orleans to purchase and move the Timberwolves to New Orleans and call them, who knows what they were going to call them. Maybe it would have been the Pelicans, eventually. They had all kinds of interesting nicknames, like Red Wolves was one of them. That would have been interesting, but who knows? Fortunately, we did not lose that team, and well, we'll see how this whole Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez situation turns out. Apparently, they have brought additional investors, which is fine. I mean, that's the right thing to do, I suppose. Every ownership group has additional investors. They do. Very rarely can a guy or two guys afford, you know, like a billion and a half, $2 billion, $3 billion. Very rarely. Unless you're like, you know, that guy. Unless you're like an Elon Musk or something. And I don't think he's in any rush to buy the Timberwolves or anybody else. So who knows what he would do with the Wolves. Who knows? The Minnesota Twitters. No, I'm just kidding. the little bird logo on the wall. That would be quite entertaining, wouldn't it? But I forgot to mention Naz Reid's insanely clutch three-point shot to put the Wolves in overtime in the first place versus the Brooklyn Nets. So I apologize, got kind of tied into what I was talking about with that one, but that was always so a major, major important thing with the Brooklyn Nets, a cold-blooded, ice-in-his-veins shot by Naz Reid. Very, very strong performance versus the Boston Celtics, but unfortunately a night that just didn't work out. It just felt like that, you know, it was going to be Boston's game. It just did. It was so frustrating. And then it's like, oh my God, we might win this. And then BS, stupid circumstances carry things in a different direction. And, you know, and guys get ejected. And guys get ejected. The Lone Wolf Award for this show, it's going to go to two guys. Can you guess? It's going to go to Mike Conley and Torian Prince. Okay? Okay? Okay, yeah, I think you know who it's going to go to. Anthony Edwards and Kyle Anderson, obviously they didn't have perfect games, especially Anthony Edwards. He struggled a little bit at times from the floor, from downtown and such, but he did lead the Wolves nicely, and that Atlanta game was so much fun, it almost didn't matter. So, I mean, that was so enjoyable, and Kyle Anderson was absolutely great. Yes, both of them got ejected, but bottom line, I think those two guys care more about the games than anybody else on the floor. I think they really do care about the wins and losses, more so than just stats. More so than just the bank account, this and that. So, I mean, it was a fun week of basketball, just an unfortunate week of basketball. So, to come up short twice against pretty good Eastern Conference teams. Hopefully that doesn't happen going into this upcoming week, because if it does, that would really suck. Interesting jerseys. Who the heck is that? Can't be, can it? That's a Rockets? What kind of jersey is that? But I kind of like it, actually. I kind of like it. Sorry, I'm kind of distracted with what I'm seeing here. Houston versus the Celtics. Interesting. But anyhow, it was, again, an unfortunate finish. Lone Wolf Award, or excuse me, the Johnny Flynn Memorial. Do I have to do this to you? He had some decent games, but then he didn't play well against the Celtics, and we could have certainly used his help. In a game, they end up losing by a little bit. I don't want to do this to him. Nikhil Alexander-Walker. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a very gentle one. Okay, Nikhil, hopefully this is the last one you get ever. Hopefully. Because you know I love you. I love the hell out of you. But, I don't know. I guess this week I'm going to hand it over to Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I can't give it to Prince. McLaughlin, I thought, had a better week than last week anyway. Naz Reid hit one of the most cold-blooded shots of the year. Blah, blah, blah. Conley had some good moments, and he wasn't nearly as good as you'd hope for. He looked like a backup point guard versus the Celtics, unfortunately. So he's an honorable mention, I think. But I'm going to give it to Walker this week. Alexander Walker, unfortunately. Walker against the Celtics, right? Remember Walker? Remember? Antoine Walker? Okay, sorry. unfortunately. So with that, we'll take a quick break and preview the upcoming four games. And, of course, you'll also hear from DraftKings. Thank you. And we are back here on Timber Wolves Explosion, if humanly possible. Okay, I'm just kidding. I don't know why I keep saying that. If humanly possible, I say that on everything I do nowadays. The Timberwolves will play Da Bulls tonight. I'm guessing Da Bulls will be wearing green. I'm guessing they have in the past. But yeah, this is in United Center, so they control the jersey dilly. So they'll probably be wearing green. Da Bulls, happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. So if I haven't said it yet, happy St. Patrick's Day, laddie. Kyle Anderson should have a good day. Okay, he should have a good day. Kyle Anderson. My name is Kyle Anderson, and I am an angel. Okay, sorry. Sorry. Ellis Caruso with an illness. Javante Green with a knee, and Justin Lewis with a knee, unfortunately. When you look at the injury report, of course, sometimes these injury reports could be from months ago. I don't know. I'm sorry. Sometimes they're bogus, but I'll read them anyway. Sometimes it is right. Like Carl Anthony Towns with a calf injury. Yeah, we're not making that up. We're not making it up. He's been out since November. We're not making it up anyway. The Wolves are ninth in points. The Bulls are 19th. This is, again, in United Center, the home that Michael Jordan built. And if you don't think that's true, hello? 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 Have you seen what the Bulls have done since? Hello? 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 Okay, anyhow, rebounds. The Wolves are 23rd. The Bulls are 20th. We used to be sister teams with the Bulls during the Thibodeau era, by the way. Field goal percentage, the Wolves are 3rd, Bulls are 5th. 3-point percentage, Wolves are 16th. It feels worse than that. The Bulls are 14th. Yeah, Wolves are 8th in assists, 21st for Chicago, 26th for the Wolves in turnovers, 11th for Chicago in turnovers, sorry. Assist to turnover ratio, Wolves are 25th, the Bulls are 19th. Blocked shots, the Wolves are 4th. Thank you, Anthony Edwards, Kyle Anderson, and Rudy Gobert. Bulls are 14th. Wolves are 4th in steals. Again, yep, Anthony Edwards and Kyle Anderson there. The Bulls are 10th. Minnesota had 150 points in a regulation game versus the Bulls. Kind of shades of one of those games years ago when the Bulls, it was like a year or two after the Bulls just, or was it even later than that? I'm seeing the guy's face, one of the Bulls players during that time. It was just a few years after Michael left the Bulls. And they were just, awful. And the Wolves were beating them by 40 points. And it was just kind of like a preseason game, just screwing around out there. That's kind of what this one felt like. 150 points. That was fun. That was fun. Sunday, December the 18th. So all the Zach LaVine fans hoping LaVine comes in and gets 35 on us. No, Anthony Edwards got 37 and 11 assists. LaVine had 22. So we'll just come off of that real quick here. 150 points in a regulation game. The Wolves beat the Bulls by 24. It's kind of annoying that we gave up 126, but, well, it is what it is, right? The Bulls, whatever they are, 2-3 in their last five. They lost to the Suns, 125-104. Lost to Indiana, 125-122. At Denver, they beat the Denver Nuggets in Denver, 117-96. Wow, must have been load management night for the Nuggets, huh? Beat Houston 119-111 in Houston. Sacramento Kings, who have their first winning record since 2005-2006, I believe, which is, it's a long time ago, apparently, but I'm happy to see it happening. 117-114. It's not quite the Cincinnati Royals era, not quite, but it might feel like it to some of the fan base there. And a team that almost moved to Seattle just a few years ago. Well, I guess it's been longer than that. But, yeah, they almost moved to Seattle 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it was. This is the rubber match, of course, because it's a, Eastern Conference team or interconference, so to speak. So, well, whatever the word is. Non-conference, so to speak, in Chicago at 7 p.m. Classic St. Paddy's Night game. Wolves and Da Bulls. DeMar DeRozan, not quite as spectacular as last season, but still averaging 25 a game. Zach LaVine, averaging just under 25. Vucevic, who at the time was an awesome addition, and I still love him, 17 or 18 points, 11.5 rebounds a game, but he doesn't block a whole lot of shots. That's why the Bulls' numbers are not high there. Kobe White's been always kind of he's just okay. Occasional spark plug, but I don't know. He's okay. He shoots 36 from downtown. Pat Beverly is back in Chicago. We'll see how things go with that. See how much bleep he talks to us. But at least he's back home in Chicago, and good luck to him, and yay. Woohoo. The Bulls are done. They're 31-37. The chances of them making it in the Eastern Conference are 1 in a bajillion. So good luck to them. Maybe next year, I guess. But it's kind of a shame. They're a talented team, you know. They are. But I guess they're just not winners. I don't know. I guess not. I don't think Patrick Beverley is going to bring any magic wand and save the team, especially at his age and all that. But I don't know. At least they're really fun to watch, I guess, at times. The Wolves will beat the Chicago Bulls in St. Paddy's. We will have a green beer or a Guinness, which is what I'm going to have. Yes, a nice, yummy Guinness on St. Paddy's Day, even though my Christmas tree is still up. Yeah, because I just have... I don't know, too lazy, too busy, a combination of lazy and busy to take it down, like door dashing on the weekend. Sometimes I just ignore it when I could just take a couple minutes and start working on taking stuff down. But what the heck, my wife's not complaining really, so oh well, you know, she seems to love having the light, like a night light at times. So St. Patrick's Day in my Christmas, this is a record for me. Usually I have it down by the end of February or mid-February. I'm not one of like it's down by Jan 2nd. Done. I'm not one of those. No, sorry. Sorry to offend you out there. Just kidding. I hope that wouldn't offend anybody anyway. But the Wolves will beat the Bulls, and I think relatively comfortably. Final score of 128-112. Wolves went comfortably over the Bulls. Anthony Edwards, 30-plus. Anthony Edwards, 30-plus. I know it's getting boring and repetitious, but so what, you know? Part of that's just how it is. Unfortunately, a back-to-back with Toronto in Scotiabank Arena. This one's probably not going to be a win. Toronto is not that good either. They're 34-36, but this one reeks of like a back-to-back loss, unfortunately. Toronto's 19th in points, 18th in rebounds, 26th in field goal percentage, 17th in free throw percentage, 27th in three-point. They're not good, are they? Three-point percentage, 23rd in assists. First in turnovers, first in assist to turnover ratio. So basically, they protect the ball very well. Even though they don't get a ton of assists, they protect the ball very, very well. Seventh in blocks per game, number one in steals. Interesting stat. Wolves did beat Toronto 128-126 in a very, very entertaining Jan 19th game. Toronto 2-3 in their past five, like all of the rest of us. Wolves are 2-3 also. All of us, looks like. Toronto had lost three in a row. Denver, at Denver, 118-113. At Clippers, 108-100. At the Lakers, who are playing much better now. Congratulations, Vinrock, Vince Germano. Yep, congratulations there. 122-112 at LA. What is up with Denver? Jeez. The Raptors beat them 125-110 in Toronto. And, yeah, Toronto is a pretty good home team, if you hadn't noticed. They have been forever, pretty much. Oklahoma City, 128-111. Win by Toronto. Unfortunately, I think Toronto does win the game. It's not going to be like a blowout or anything. Of course not. Otto Porter Jr. is on his 15th team, I think. He's out with a foot, I guess, since, you know, according to this, since November. Delano Banton, thumb injury as of mid-March here, as we're basically where we're at, just a few days ago. Toronto wins the game, but not by a whole lot. Final score of something along the likes. I think it's going to be a lower scoring one, maybe. Or maybe the Wolves do get blown out of the gym. I hope not. But something along the likes of 114-110. It's going to be something like that. But Toronto wins, unfortunately. Look at some of the guys. Pascal Siakam is obviously a wonderful player. 24 points, 7, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. He does a little bit of everything. He's a great defender. Fred VanVleet is one of the better point guards again. And he takes care of the ball. 7 assists. So it's Pascal Siakam. And Fred VanVleet combined for 13 assists a game. So despite the fact they're not high in the assists, they're great about protecting the ball. I just think they beat us. Gary Trent Jr., of course, son of Gary Trent, former Timberwolf and from Minnesota, 36.7% from downtown and almost 18 points a game. He's turned out to be a pretty nice player. Pretty nice. Otto Porter's been out most of the year. Thaddeus Young is still playing. Wow, but definitely in a role player role, about 15 minutes a game. Thaddeus Young still playing all these years later when I was bitching about him not rebounding enough. He's averaging 4 rebounds a game in less than 15 minutes. I guess that's not too bad. No, he's not. Where is he? No. He's averaging 3 rebounds a game, so I guess the number isn't that great. Sometimes he rebounds and sometimes he doesn't. Ron Harper Jr., well, all kinds of juniors here and there. Otto Porter, Gary Trent. Yeah, but Wolves win. Wolves lose by 4 to Toronto, in my opinion. We'll see how that turns out. This is going to be an interesting week. It really is. It might be a little back and forth. Maybe we win both of those games, and I hope we do, but I think it's going to be a split of a week. I think the Wolves are going to be right at 500 like they are right now, unfortunately. I think the Wolves do not beat the Knicks either. Nope. 41-30. New York Knicks are third in the Atlantic Division. They are a playoff team. Jalen Brunson had a foot injury very recently. He was limping off the court, unfortunately, on March the 10th. The New York Knicks are 13th in points, 2nd in rebounds, 24th in field goal percentage, 22nd in three-point percentage, 30th in assists. They're the worst team in the league for some reason, but 3rd in turnovers, so okay, because they don't pass much. 10th in assists to turnover, 24th in blocks, and bottom of the barrel in steals. What's up with that? I thought Thibodeau was a defensive wizard. Yeah, sure he is. Anyhow, 120, that's what they told us, right? 120-107 win by the Knicks in Target Center back on November the 7th. I think the New York Knicks pull out the brooms and sweep the Wolves. Unfortunately, they lost 3 in a row recently before winning 2 in a row. They're 2-3 in their last 5. What's going on? Everybody's below 500 lately. But I'm glad we're playing teams that are below 500 lately. Maybe we can take advantage and have an unexpected win. I don't think the Wolves win this game, though. The New York Knicks lost to the Hornets. What? 112-105. I guess I don't feel as bad as I did before, huh? Sacramento 122-117. I just realized something. So I'll read the ad in a second. Gosh, I did it again, man. 122-117, but not at the end of the show this time. 122-117, 106-95 loss. These are all losses. At Sacramento, 122-117, 106-95 loss at the Clippers. 112-108 win over the Lakers in Los Angeles. 123-107 pounding of the Portland Trail Blazers most recently. But the Knicks will beat the Timberwolves, unfortunately, in my opinion. Final score, something along the likes of 122-110. I think the Knicks beat us by double digits, and that sucks. Julius Randle's having a great season. 25.2 points, 10 rebounds. Jalen Brunson had 6 assists and all that, but he's averaging almost 24 points a game. He was an awesome addition in the offseason. The Knicks look really good. I don't think they're going to win any championship or anything. They haven't in 50-plus years, but hopefully they do one of these days just to say the Knicks finally won another title. Because, you know, I mean, years ago you would have thought they'd squeeze out one in the Patrick Ewing era, but it just didn't happen because of a certain guy that was the great wall of the NBA when it came to other teams trying to win. As much as people say Michael Jordan had it easy, you really think so? You don't think the Knicks would have won a championship or two, you know, if, say, Michael Jordan wasn't as good as he was? You don't think they would have overcome and beat the Bulls and won it, or if they overcame and beat the Bulls, they wouldn't have won a title or two? Come on, people. Seattle had a great record. Utah was really dangerous. Come on, people. Yeah, Michael Jordan did not have it easier than anybody else. Stupid. I can't believe people actually said that in the past. Mostly people that are a little on the younger side. But I think the Knicks win by double digits, unfortunately. Anthony Edwards, you know, obviously, he's always going to lead the Wolves in scoring. And if he doesn't, maybe Rudy Gobert goes out for 26 or something. He actually might have a good game. Rudy Gobert. We'll see. Because the New York Knicks defense is, it's good sometimes and it's not other times. It's kind of weird. But maybe they don't block a whole lot of shots and get a lot of steals. But the overall man-to-man defense is a pain to go against at times, even though some of these guys are mediocre defensively. But whatever it is, it's working. Atlanta Hawks, Wolves hopefully can sweep this one. This is in Target Center, the 22nd of March on Wednesday. I almost say no excuse. Jalen Johnson with a hamstring for the Atlanta Hawks most recently. Trae Young did have 41 points versus the Wolves recently, but the Wolves won 136-115. I just reviewed that. Fifth in points are the Hawks, 12th in rebounds, 9th in field goal percentage, 20th in three-point percentage, 20th in assists, 4th in turnovers, 4th in assist to turnovers, 12th in blocks, 19th in steals. And I do think the Wolves sweep the season series versus this club. 2-3 in their last five. Every single team, including us, 2-3 in their last five. So hopefully the Wolves take advantage of this. At Miami, 130-128 loss. At Washington, 122-120 win. At Washington again, 114-107 win. Hosting Boston, 134-125 loss. And hosting the Wolves, 136-115 loss. I think the Wolves do sweep the season series. Trae Young's averaging, is he averaging 30? No, 27. DeJounte Murray, who's been a minor disappointment. He's not been as good in Atlanta, but I didn't think he would be. It's kind of like two similar players. I don't know. It just, it always throws things on a whack. It's kind of unnecessary. But 16 assists combined for those two guys. It's interesting. So a lot of playmaking possibilities. Jared Culver, 10 games with the Hawks so far this year. It's unfortunate for him. Sadiq Bey, the former Piston, nice addition, but it is what it is. Clint Capella, when he plays, is so good, and he's been pretty healthy most of the year. But the Wolves will win. Final score of 125-110. Wolves win by 15 over the Hawks and sweep the season series easily. And if we don't, shame on us at the end of the day. Anthony Edwards has 35 in the game. 35. And the Wolves win comfortably over the Atlanta Hawks. With that, I'm going to do DraftKings now. And why the heck wouldn't I, right? So, ready for the underdogs, the upsets, and the unbelievable action from DraftKings Sportsbook? The biggest tournament in college basketball is here. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on college hoops and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, for a limited time, all customers can score a no-sweat bet during round 1 and 2 of the tournament. Go to the app, opt in, and place a no-sweat bet this weekend. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. So, I mean, Princeton versus Arizona, that was quite entertaining. Arizona suddenly couldn't buy a bucket late in the game, and you saw one of the greater upsets of one of the great upsets you're going to see this year, no doubt about it. I was so tempted to pick Princeton, and of course I didn't. Doggone it, that would have been cool. I had them all the way. Yeah, sure. Apparently 0.003% of all brackets are still perfect after, like, Thursday. Think about it. Thursday. That's like the opening day, basically. But yeah, Princeton, what a great upset. And there was a couple others. There was a couple other great upsets, like a 14-3. So very impressive. Fun tournament. Really enjoy it. Going with the Houston Cougars to win it all. It's going to be Phi Slamma-Jamma time. Certainly a hell of a lot better than the Houston Rockets. Whew! So there's one good basketball team in Houston, and that would be the Houston Cougars, no doubt about it. But enjoy. Should be a lot of fun. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code XXX. So not TBPN this time, XXX. And no, it's not one of those type of films. No, it's not. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly, win or lose. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code XXX. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Maybe they should have went with NCAA, or I don't know, who knows, but they went with XXX. So, yes, enjoy the tournament. It's fun. It's fun, even if I like the NBA more usually, but I don't know, March Madness is a lot of fun. And unfortunately, you get to see a lot of heartbroken people, though, as well, because, you know, crazy upsets, or, you know, you go all the way and you end up losing by a point or something. Ugh, that hurts like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it really does. With that said, though, yep, do get that DraftKings Sportsbook app. We'll be back for some fan interaction right after this. Back here on Timberwolves Explosion. Time to get into fan interaction. There'll be some, and it's again my own fault for not being active. This week I was really inactive, and I apologize. I really do. It's my own fault. I'm not helping my show at all, but I really appreciate Tanae for jumping on board. It means a whole heck of a lot. It really does. But others as well, I believe there's a little bit more on the Facebook page, believe it or not, which I tend to neglect even more, which is terrible. At T-Wolves EX, want to thank Vince Germano for retweeting the most recent show, of course, out of Melbourne, Australia. and a part of the Courtside podcast, which we miss very much. Hopefully that comes back soon. Melbourne, Australia. Tane Brown out of New Zealand, absolute pillar of the show. Levi Brown, absolute pillar. Vince Germano, yeah, you guys really, really make mean a lot to me. Tane and Levi out of New Zealand. That basketball, or the Basketball Podcast Network out of Vancouver, British Columbia. And Derek Felska out of Western Wisconsin. Minnesota native, but works in Western Wisconsin as a teacher. Works and lives there, of course, as a teacher and defensive line coach for the high school. Pretty darn cool. So, again, thank you so much for retweeting the most recent episode. Tane Brown. Yep, so this kind of gets things going here. Tane Brown says, wow, tough couple of days for Minnesota sports fans. Second first-round pick in Wolves history, I think. May he rest in peace. And yep, you're correct. Felton Spencer died, which is really sad. We'll get into that in a second. Also, again, what he's referring to, for anybody that might not be, doesn't really keep up with Minnesota sports, just in case. Maybe you're from Australia and you're mostly are just basketball. Bud Grant, legendary Minnesota Vikings head coach Bud Grant, died last Saturday morning, kind of quietly. It was kind of a sudden thing where he just wasn't feeling so well, and then he just suddenly just died. Like, came out of the shower or whatever, you know, was sitting on the bed, whatever, and then just, boom, just tipped over. That's it. So, at 95 years of age, at least he had a very, very long life, an amazing, amazing run. So, that's what Tane was referring to, tough couple days. We'll give both of them a moment of silence here shortly. Felton Spencer, though, yeah, I mean, former Timberwolves, going back to the beginning pretty much, the second year. Sixth overall pick in 1990. I wouldn't say he lived up to the sixth overall pick or anything, but I'm not here to be talking rude, and I apologize if that comes off really bad. Felton Spencer also played for the New York Knicks. Started with the Wolves, 91-93. The Utah Jazz. Yep, he was on some pretty good Jazz teams in the mid-90s there. I remember him very well, 94-96. Went up with the Orlando Magic in 97. In 98, Golden State Warriors. Or no, 97, the Warriors as well. Pardon me, a trade. Stayed with the Warriors with that new uniform that they came out with, that Warrior, that Lightning Lord thing, 98-99. Yep, he did play for the Spurs, that's right, in 2000, and then wrapped up his career in 01-02 with the New York Knicks. A decent player, decent role player, kind of a bigger guy. He was decent with the Wolves at the beginning, averaged about 7 points, 8 rebounds, this and that, blocked some shots. He was a decent player. Played until he was 34 years of age. Seemed like a pretty nice guy, too. But unfortunately, he has passed away at age 55 on March the 12th. Coming out of Louisville, Kentucky. He was born on January 15th, 1968 in Louisville, Kentucky. Lived at 55. And then what the heck am I looking at here? What? Okay, this is something else. I'm like, no, he didn't play last year. What the heck? Nope. But the cause of death was it was kind of like unknown. They weren't sure. So, I don't know. I mean, maybe there'll be more information on that. Maybe there is out there. I'm not going to dig too hard on it at the moment. Maybe it's not my business type of thing. And, of course, I'm not an actual reporter or anything. But stop talking about I apologize. Utah, though, really valuable player with the Jazz. It made us kind of like say, you know what, we kind of missed out. He just, you know, we weren't patient enough with him. After the third year, he actually had dropped off quite a bit, unfortunately. Kind of fell out of the starter role. The minutes were less and less, and the numbers weren't so hot. But went to the Jazz and played pretty darn well and was solid the rest of his career. Never great, but a solid player. Solid player, and again, seemed like a nice guy. And, you know, definitely a worthy NBA player, no doubt about it. And it really sucks to see somebody die young like this at 55. 40 years younger than Bud Grant, who made it all the way to 95. You don't feel as bad when somebody makes it to 95 years of age. It's still sad, sure, you know, that it's over. Man, what an amazing run, and it's over. It's sad, of course, and the great memories that a lot of those legendary Minnesota Vikings had playing for Bud Grant in the 1970s and going to 4 Super Bowls or 3 Super Bowls, depending on Fran Tarkington, who was, you know, we reacquired him after the previous coach traded him away mistakenly. So, but no, Horace, did I call him Horace Grant? Felton Spencer. And, you know, obviously really sucks to see him go like this. Only 55 years of age. So we're going to give Felton Spencer and Bud Grant, but Felton Spencer especially because of this show, and a moment of silence. God bless Felton Spencer and your family. Again, very sad to hear that. Again, was the second draft pick, first round pick in Wolves history, not second pick overall. I had it up. I closed it, didn't I? Jeez. I had everything up. Yep, the first pick ever was Pooh Richardson. And the Yep, see, back then, some of our second round picks ended up being pretty good players. You had Pooh Richardson and Doug West. He was the second round pick. So obviously, second round picks can certainly be something. And back in those days, when there were fewer teams, sure. But yeah, Gerald Glass was like 3 years later in '94. I can't believe he was that much later. Had some moments, but overall did not live up to the hype. Marlon Maxey was a second round pick. A little bit crazy, a lot of energy, but was a little out of control, and that's what hurt his career, like turnovers and such. But Felton Spencer, yeah, nice, steady player for that Jazz team that was very competitive. And unfortunately, didn't get past the Seattle Supersonics in 96. 95, similarly, with the Houston Rockets. Or was it 94? Well, one of those 2 years, yeah, because he was on both. He was on the 94, 95, and 96 Jazz. That they went to at least two Western Conference Finals and lost, unfortunately, in the 97. He wound up with Orlando. He was on Utah and then wound up with Orlando and Golden State, I guess. So that's kind of what happened there. Nope. He was on Golden State first. Or he was on Orlando and then got traded. Yeah, that's what happened. It was like right away. Weird. Golden State was like, no, we want him. So God bless you, Felton Spencer. And thank you, Tanae, for the comment there. For sure. Now we're on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Timberwolves Explosion. We were showing Jordan and Pippen. Let's see, Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. I don't think I brought this up on the last show, and if I did, I apologize. And then it was Jordan and Pippen. So I don't think I mentioned the comments, so I'm apologizing here just in case. Sean Grant from California says, I'll take it, because we were comparing Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels to Michael and Scotty, basically, of the Bulls. I was saying it would be like, get the parade ready. And Tanae was saying, man, it would be cool if this was both of their ceilings. Haha, and why wouldn't it be unbelievable? Most recent episode post, Levi Brown says, don't you think you posted the show on Twitter? Don't think you posted the show on Twitter, which is where I usually learn of the new episode. Glad it popped up here, though. Yep, yeah, I had forgotten. I got home that night, and it was still sitting there. I'm like, oh, so sorry about that. Levi, my bad. It eventually did get up there, and I apologize for not coming back to you there. And then, yep, former Louisville standout NBA center Felton Spencer dies at 55, according to Yahoo Sports. It was shared by someone as well. New York Knicks Australia fan site shared it, apparently. Cool. Thank you for following, in case you do. And yeah, it's, you know, it's a damn shame. I'm going to follow the link a little bit, but I believe it's unknown. Yeah, the cause of death is not yet known. But played for Louisville, pretty cool. Pretty cool, and he's from there too. So Kentucky. Yep, gotta like Kentucky. But with that, again, hope all of you, that should be it though for the show, unfortunately. Not the longest show ever, but certainly not the shortest. What are we? Oh yeah, we're already over 50 minutes. So if you want to call into the show, you're more than welcome to do so. It's called an audio submission in the podcasting world. Pull out your, I do have one other thing quick. I'm going to do it now. Otherwise, I'm going to forget and regret it because I just got an awesome rating. He's somebody that rated the show a few months ago, but then kind of like updated it. Wilco321. And quick question, just in case you're following on Facebook or Twitter, let me know. I'd like to know who you are because you're an awesome guy. You really are. He says, 5 stars to you, Joey. Keep them coming. I can tell you enjoy doing the shows. Merry Christmas to you, too. Really look forward to your show. Yep, he likes that I say Merry Christmas and, you know, Happy Holidays, I'm guessing, because, yeah, you got to say Merry Christmas. Really look forward to your show. I listen to all the local podcasts and have to say yours is number one for me. Wow, that means a lot. It does. Flagrant Howls is a close second, and, yeah, that's a good one, too. That's by Phil Mackey and Kyle. Yeah, the guy's name is Kyle. It says a close second. Dane has a good one also, but I like the humor you add to yours. Thank you. Thanks for the hour of enjoyment every Friday. I couldn't agree more with your opinion of town's leading the clowning around while our team was struggling to win a game, like a cancer spreading to Minot and Garza. I hope they trade him this offseason for someone who cares. Yeah, it was a very, very, very frustrating moment. It really was. And there have been a lot of frustrating moments with Carl Anthony Towns off and on. You know, and it's not like, you know, see, people that might call us haters or something, it's not about we're haters. It's just we've seen enough of things that tell us that something ain't right. Something ain't right, you know. So I don't think there's anything wrong with what Wilco said there. And I don't feel too bad about what I said on that show either a couple of weeks back. Yeah, that was bad. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I couldn't believe it. It's like unacceptable at the end of the day. But yeah, let me know. Just in case you're following on Twitter or like Facebook or whatever, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. You could DM maybe. And if you haven't followed or whatever yet, maybe you can. And again, DM, let me know. I'd like to know. So nice to hear from you. It really means a lot. It does. So that's rating on Apple Podcasts. This is Apple Podcasts. A very, 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 very positive review, about as positive as you can get. And appreciate it so much. So, again, also, if you want to call into the show, and even Wilco could do that as well. Yeah, absolutely you can. Any smart device on the planet, they all have free voice recording apps. Pretty much open it up, press record, treat it like a phone call. And then when you're done, you stop, of course. And then email it / share it to PaladinoLive@Yahoo.com, PaladinoLive@Yahoo.com. And then I will convert it into an MP3 file thanks to Zumzar or CloudToConvert.com. Both of those websites are really helpful for converting files if you ever need to. And I will take care of doing that, of course. I'm not going to expect you guys to do it because that's, you know, that's not necessary. I can do it. It only takes a minute anyway. So, and I'm giving them a free plug because they provide a pre-service, which helps this show. So why would I not want to do that? Again, get your DraftKings Sportsbook app. Enjoy the enjoy the NCAA tournament. Go Princeton, huh? Let's go Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm an Eric Musselman fan. I hated the way, I think it was the Sacramento Kings many years ago, basically like mutinied on the guy. I couldn't believe it. Like, that's BS. He's a good coach. So it's fun to have teams to root for when you like when the Gophers aren't there. Apparently, 4 years ago today, the Gophers were named or were we just going into the tournament? No, yeah, it was it Selection Sunday 4 years ago today. I wonder why it's off by so many days, but I guess it's possible because it's Sunday. 4 years ago today, the Gophers were the seventh seed going against Were we the 11th seed? Now I'm screwed up in the head. I had it up. Dang it. I got to go back now and figure out what it was. I apologize. But I know the Gophers were playing Louisville. I think we were the 10th seed going against 7th seed Louisville. Or was it vice versa? I think we were 7th going against 10th seed Louisville and we beat them. One way or another, we did beat Louisville in advance. But unfortunately, down we went very quickly right after that. Before I call it a week, I want to give a huge shout out to Flip to Finch. It is a Facebook page where they talk about obviously it's a Minnesota Timberwolves Facebook page. Scott Gordy does a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful job. Got to give a huge shout out to him. And it's a fun Facebook page. He always has fun with the, yep, it's Wolves, Timberwolves Wolfpack, Flip to Finch. Scott Doherty always reminds us about the we have the threes and all that. Keeps up with game time and everything. Really nice guy. Looks like there's Kevin Doherty's also an admin. Cool. But Scott Doherty's like the founder. And he's like the main guy that got everything going and does most of the posting and like, you know, posting like, hey, it's game day or whatever, this and that. So, again, he allows me to post on the page saying that Timberwolves Explosion is out. So really appreciate you, Scott, locally here in the Twin Cities, and think that, it's a wonderful page and nice people there, and highly recommend you check that one out. With that said, have a great week, and go Timberwolves.